This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Last week, temperatures were minus 20, wind chill minus 35, and I began to storm heaven, thank God, please take me south. By Friday, we got the marching orders to come to Columbia, and today is 81. Now that's God answering prayer. It's been 30 years since I sat in one of the chairs as a student. 30 years, I left a really glamorous job with the FBI. I resigned for the sole purpose to find God, to make Him confess he made a mistake. God brought me to Columbia, where I attended the seminary, and I confess I did not come here to study a Bible, to become a missionary or a pastor, but my sole purpose was to find God, to make Him confess He made a mistake when He forever turned the sound off in my life. God was waiting for me, big time. It was one technical knockout in the first round that sent me flat on my face before Him, crying out for mercy. I did not receive a degree from seminary, but I left Columbia with the letters E.L., eternal life. I gained my salvation at Columbia Bible College in all my shame. I came to the foot of the cross to allow Him to heal me, to put me back together the way He wanted me to be. And 30 years ago, from the time of my surrender and the fullness of His grace, it's been an incredible journey. All I asked of Him that day was, Father, send me to every nation, to every generation, to let me proclaim Your love and faithfulness and the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Big order for a single deaf woman, but by a twinkling of the eye and the snap of her finger, He answered that prayer in a most unusual way. You see, He had a TV show come out, Sue Thomas, FBI, where a couple million people here in the United States watched it. But far more importantly, He took it to 64 nations around the world. Every day we receive emails from around the world, Malaysia, South Africa, Singapore, Japan, you name it, they come. They're watching Sue Thomas, FBI. But there's another DVD that counteracted that TV show that I produced called Nothing But the Truth. It's the real story of Sue Thomas that Hollywood wouldn't even touch. Since that day, I've not gone forth as a speaker, as a pastor, or a teacher. I don't speak Hebrew, Latin, or Greek. But what I've gone forth is a witness. Like that first risen Sunday morning, when Christ revealed Himself to a woman, that she would go to the disciples to make it known that He was alive. I follow her footsteps. As a profoundly deaf woman, my eyes have been everything. And basically, I'm here today to bear witness of what I'm seeing. And basically, as spring break comes upon you, I'm hoping that the word that you hear today will go with you through spring break, and you'll really do some deep thinking about this. Today, I'm going to confound your minds. Why? It's going to be a deaf woman talking about music. Did I get your attention? Yeah. Music 101, but through all of eternity. I don't hear. I have no recollection of music, but I feel the vibration. But I had a mother that loved music. And as her only daughter, she wanted to pass that love on to me, whether I could hear it or not. As a little child, she sat me in her lap, and she walked back and forth singing all of her favorite songs. And with my head on her shoulder, I could feel the vibration. And if I really liked those vibes, I would kind of go up to her neck and lay my hand gently so I could get all the vibes that I possibly could. It must have been around Christmas time because one of the first songs that my mom ever taught me was Silent Night. Silent Night. Now, the words didn't mean anything to me. Rather, it was the rhythm and the flow of that song that brought forth tremendous peace. As a child, I was put in the public school system. Basically, the laughter rang out because the way I spoke, I learned really fast that if I didn't open my mouth to speak, there would be no ridicule, there would be no laughter. I sat in the front row trying to read my teacher's lips, and I didn't do too good by then. My grades were D's and F's. They passed me on from one class to the next. 12 years I sat without the understanding of what was going on. For 12 years, I never opened my mouth to speak. And I remember going home on the school bus after a long day, sitting so close I would look out the window and my nose would be all pushed up against the glass so nobody would see the tears coming down my face. And way down deep inside, I was singing Silent Night to myself, and I'd be okay. Every single night, my parents heard me sing Silent Night to put myself to sleep. It was my anthem. It was a song that soothed my spirit in stormy, troubled seas. And what I didn't realize until much later in life, that even the deaf have the understanding and the appreciation of music once it's been unlocked. You see, when God created each and every one of us, He gave us a spirit. He gave us a heart that beats. And right in between the spirit and the heart, there's that little section. And it's called music. And what's it for? What is it for? Only one reason. Only one reason. It has been created by the Creator to bring glory and honor unto His name that is worthy to be praised. Music is not about us. If we enjoy it. Yeah, how dare we enjoy it? Because it's all about us. Man, we rock with it. We roll with it. We love it. But that's not what music was so created to be. It was created for Him and for His pleasure and His glory. And you know, it's just not us. Every living thing of all flesh, He has given a voice to praise and to sing. Have you heard the whale sing? I haven't. Have you heard the elephant triumph? I haven't. Have you heard the lion's roar? I haven't. Psalm says that the birds, nests between the branches with their singing. Have you heard the birds sing? I haven't. Have you heard my Handel's Messiah? Handel's Messiah, have you heard it? I haven't. But I'm going to tell you as a witness, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. When I honestly see the body uniting and singing praise to the Creator and the Creator alone, if you could only see the faces and the transformation that I see upon their faces, if nothing is short than heaven of those singing around the glassy sea. And yet, if I have stood before a rock concert, what I see, come into my world for just a second. Two big screens, rock concert, Christian concert, no music, but they're still doing the physical action of a concert, rock concert, Christian concert, no music. I'm going to tell you the truth. You can't tell the difference. Without the music, you can't tell the difference. And I want to show you something else that I've seen over and over. I've spoken in just about every denomination of the faith. Over and over, I see this. We have the church in the sanctuary, and we have the worship team up front. And why are they the worship team? They have beautiful voices. They're leading the singing. That's what the worship team is, okay? So we got that down. Now, this is what I'm saying. The worship team. They're up on the platform. They have the microphones. Okay, the music starts. But this is something else. I see the women today in the tight miniskirts, with the leather high boots, with the shirt or the sweaters, with the V-neck that are cut low. And they are standing in the sanctuary, worshiping the holy God, swaying to the music. And I'm going to tell you something in truth. There is not one man in that church that's going to have his eyes upon God when he has that woman in front of him. What is wrong with this picture? Do we know how to truly worship the Creator? Let's not fool ourselves. It's not showtime. It's for real. I'm sharing this with you for what I see, and I'm hoping that you will think about this, because if you are truly earnest as far as worshiping the Creator, do it in the holiness and the purity. It's for real. You know, I've been afflicted with multiple sclerosis for 15 years now. And if I ever thought my deafness was a challenge, my MS makes the pale in comparison. For the last 3 years, I have been going down an alarming rate, excruciating pain, not knowing if I can see, not knowing if I can walk. And basically, even the song Silent Night could not comfort me. Well, I would spend a long night in the rocker chair where the pain was so intense, I couldn't pray. But as I sat there, my soul would sing to the Creator. We rest in Thee, our shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe. Strong in Thy strength, safe in Thy keeping tender. We rest in Thee and in Thy name we go. Someone once asked me, when I die, what I want would be put on my tombstone. And I didn't even have to think twice about it. I would want the word, it has been an incredible journey. You see, by God's grace, He has allowed me to endure just about everything known to man. I have been an athlete, a champion skater. I know what it's like to buffet the body and have the strength to endure and to be a champion. I have been brought low with my MS, where I can't even walk. And I go so slow, if I go any slower, I'll be going backwards. I have seen the wealth and the riches of Hollywood. I know what it's like to have the limos, the 5 stars, and the wealth. And I know what it's like to lose it all and to be in extreme poverty. I've seen it all, and I can testify to the fact that as one that is getting older, it sure gets better and better and better. Why is that? Because we are walking closer and closer and closer to that everlasting presence of eternal life. It started here at Columbia for me. Oh, yes. Dr. McFulton was here that day. And I even asked him a short time ago, Dr. McFulton, did you ever kick anybody out of Columbia Bible College and Seminary? And he looked at me perplexed. He said, I don't think so. But, you know, I can't really say. And then he leaned closer, and he looked me straight in the eye, and he said, did we kick you out? I said, no, sir, but you had every reason to do so, but you didn't. Rather, you gave me the stipulation to receive biblical counseling with Bill Graham. Columbia taught me the lessons that are found biblically in the scripture of loving, of forgiving, of healing, of restoring, and sending. Without this school, I wouldn't be where I am today. I have a passion for my Lord. I love Him. And there was a time when I said the day that I couldn't stand on my own 2 feet to proclaim Him would be the day that I would stop speaking. Oh, did He teach me? And now at the point of realizing if I can't stand and deliver, I was sent and deliver. And if I can't stand with my last dying breath flat on my bed, I will proclaim the sovereignty grace of God. You're here. God has brought you to this place. What's he teaching you? Do you know him in a real way? A way that you've never ever have found him before? Have you truly surrendered your all, every bit of yourself to the living Lord? That he has transformed you, that he has renewed you, that he wants to use you in only a way that he can. Do you sing for yourself? Do you sing for other people? Or do you sing for the Lord God Most High, that whatever your lot, whatever you may be, you can truly say, it is well. It is well with my soul. 30 years ago, when I was here, and after the forgiveness, I can remember coming to chapel. And I would always come late, and the doors would be closed, and I'd be standing outside of those doors. And I'd be looking in the window, and there would be tears coming down my face. And I would keep saying, you are so unworthy to be a part of the body. Yes, God forgave me, but I could not forgive myself. And yet, as I lived off campus, off of Broad River Road in the apartments, one day I'm driving over here, and the song, I Love You, Lord, had just been penned. It was a very, very popular one, and we still sing it today. You know, I love you, Lord. I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul rejoice. Right? And I'm driving, and I'm singing that song. And all of a sudden, I couldn't stop singing it. I kept going on. And this is when I truly realized that God has created the music in each and every one of us, whether we're deaf, whether we hear it or not. And the verse went on as the words were given to me that day by my Lord encouraging me. I praise you, Lord, and I give myself to you. Glory, let my life so shine. Take all of me and let it be for your glory and honor eternity. You have to realize that I know I'm the only one that can sing these songs in B flat, A minor at the same time. Nobody else can sing it like me. But you want to know something? I will still bellow out with my spirit as the whales sing, as the lion roars, even the stars make music unto him. I will bellow out regardless of B flat, A minor, no matter how lousy it is. Why? Because I don't sing for you, and I don't sing for me. I sing for him, and when I release it, it goes on. And when he gets it, it's in perfect pitch and harmony. Never, but never be afraid to sing adoration and praise to the Creator that so created you between your heart and that spirit. There's that little place of music waiting to be released. 30 years later, I left. And I didn't come back the same way. And as I continue to go forth in his name, I know him and I make him known from the bottom of my heart, for the founding of the school, and for what saved me, my eternal life. I will ever be grateful.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.